This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club Podcast.
Good evening and welcome back to part two of episode 11 of the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast. This evening I'm joined by a special guest, Martin Davies, aka Slap. In part one we went through Slap's introduction to cricket, his journey to where he is now, obviously former tractor boy, returned to his home club, Wem, and went through a few sort of basics of where we're at. In this episode we're going to cover where we feel cricket is, league cricket, national cricket, IPL, obviously matters arising from that at the moment, and going from there, so please stay in touch. Again, I just want to say massive thank you to the Hinds Head for hosting this evening's podcast. One of the best local pubs I could come across, host right in the heart of the village here in Norton and Hales. So, good evening, Martin. Welcome to part two.
Good.
Keep going. So, cricket. We've already discussed in part one why we love cricket. We'll start at the top, Test cricket. Current state of affairs. What's your thoughts on Test cricket? Does it still have a place? Is it still relevant? Any changes?
Anyone who's a cricket player knows it's got a place.
Yeah.
I think people that don't play the game or play any other sport can't get cricket. They don't get it. They don't get why you sit there all day watching cricket, but it is the best, still by a mile, the best form of cricket you can watch.
Yeah,
it's
Test
cricket. I love 20-over cricket. I love 50-over cricket.
Yeah.
It suits my game more. I'd never have the patience to play that game of cricket. But to be a top-level player, the concentration, the class, the quality, the training, everything, the fitness, it's got to be, nowadays, it's got to be so high. You're the pinnacle of a sport. If you can play Test cricket, then I feel as though you're never going to lose Test cricket. It's complete rubbish. I've heard people say, "Oh, Test cricket's going." Test cricket will never go. Everyone still wants to be number one Test cricket nation in the world, and I can never ever see it changing ever.
No, I think from my point of view, you look at Test match cricket in this country. I think in other countries there are obviously pitfalls. We'll focus on the West Indies, for example. I think potentially the game needs to change the times of when it's played, because obviously the West Indies don't get a lot of people, because people are a working class country, people work during the day, and the last session they might stream in, and then Saturdays or a Sunday it's jam-packed, and they are massive purists of the game as well. But then you look at like South Africa, Thursday, Friday it's dead, Saturday, Sunday you can't move in any of the grounds.
Yeah.
It's the same with Australia and different things like that. So I'm in full agreement, and you mentioned about the pinnacle of fitness, it's also the mental toughness as well.
Talk about
like, you know, you could be, you know, coasting along, you've only got to have one bad session and you could ruin the entire fight.
One bad delivery is a bad
decision. And I think it's just one of those things that you want to test yourself, and you can see now you've still got players that can, like Josh Butler for example, who can tee off left, right and centre, but even still doing a job, obviously more than a job, in Test match cricket. And obviously it's having that ability to switch gears and different things like that, and obviously the moving and adapting, and obviously the sponsors love it, and as a spectator support, I mean, especially in this country, you've only got to look at when people go to the atmosphere and the camaraderie and the spectacle, I suppose, of Test match cricket is more so than any 2020 game or an ODI.
It's fascinating watching it, because you think, what's going to happen this session, what's going to happen that session, and you know, you look back at the Ashes series that we've all watched and been to, etc. There's never been a better place to be than those grounds, and there wasn't a spare seat in any grounds ever, because it was the two oldest enemies, etc., playing cricket. And you know, the fireworks, the music, you know, we've all seen it. It's brilliant. It's just an aspect of the game.
Yeah.
It's an aspect of a great game of cricket. You love cricket, whether it's garden cricket with your mates when you're this big, to watching Test match cricket, they're all playing over 50s. You know, everyone loves the game, whatever you play. And I think there's a place for all of it. You know, I think your 40-over cricket is probably dead now, purely because 50-over cricket is the national sport, isn't it? The national, you know, it's 50-over cricket.
I think 40-overs was just tinkered with, wasn't it? Just trying to find that balance.
Sunday cricket, I thought it was.
40, exactly.
Sunday cricket was 40-over cricket, wasn't it? Whereas Saturday cricket was 50 overs a side, 10 overs a bowler. That's how I see cricket, you know. But obviously there's a lot of counties vary on what they see and how they go about it, and a lot of countries vary how they go about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have had a few overseas players in the past who've played two-day cricket, Saturday, Sunday. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Playing Saturday, Sunday. Are we back on Saturday, back on Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, it's nonsense to me.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Two different days, two different weathers, two different, you know, pitch. Yeah, two pitch, you know, I don't see that. But yeah, you know, I think all cricket, there's still plenty of scope for it. And I think there's some more improvements. Yeah, I think there'll be other little variants of each game will come in. But Test cricket will have to stay as it is because it's the best view.
If you want, it's funny we talk about this because obviously we've got a massive Ashes summer coming up, which is going to be massively exacerbated by obviously the sandpaper scandal, obviously Smith, Warner, obviously coming back into the side. What are you looking forward to from the summer, from an Ashes summer, from Test Match Cricket? Talk me through your routine. Obviously, you're a very busy person, so what will your routine sort of be? Where are you going to just grab as much of it when you can? Or?
For me, I'll very rarely go and watch it at the ground because I just haven't got time.
Yeah.
I've not got time for it, you know, kids and my own sport, no chance. But, you know, I want to watch as much as I can, you know, I'll get up on me. If I've watched Ashes series overnight, I'll be sat up till 3 a.m. watching cricket, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll watch as much as I can in the summer, Saturday mornings before I play or Sundays. And like I say, as a cricketer yourself, you can't not watch it. You're driving home and you hear a couple of wickets falling in an important session at night and it's swinging about a bit and you think, I'll go and watch that. I've got to get back and watch that. You know, so I'll catch as much as I can, but obviously not as much as I used to, perhaps. But I'm still obviously very supportive of England and I fancy the summer against Australia, to be fair. I do, especially here in England with a swinging ball, but who knows, you know. But I just think we're not far off being probably consistently over all forms of the game. I think England aren't far off with one of the top two sides.
Mm-hmm.
We're up there in the Test matches, we're up there in the One Days, up there in the 2020s. You know, we're strong, so yeah, I'm looking to chop as much as I can really, and hopefully England can get some good results.
I mean, my own personal opinion on the Test match thing is I got frustrated in the West Indies. I think we tinkered with too many things. You know, we have got a barrage of fast bowlers when they're fit, and that's what you need to go to the West Indies with, not little swingy bowlers and blah blah blah. Yeah, with the Dukes in England, you know, play your Currans, play your Wokes, but when you hit the deck bowlers, and the West Indies sort of showed that. But the batting prowess that we have, other than that sort of 1-2-3 conundrum, which, you know, when you're listening to like Coop, we've never really solved the Jonathan Trott issue. We just need to sort of have a think for that. But the batting, I think we've got, I think it's exciting to watch. When we talk about Test cricket being the pinnacle, when you lose an ODI, it's not turn up again 2 days' time. Lose a Test match, and you only have to listen to the fever around the cricketing community, the media, all that sort of stuff. People sort of don't like it really, it's just sort of where it's at really. But you know, Ashes summer, we'll see how things are getting on and we go from there. And again, you've only got to look at how fiercely India, Australia was done. We still talk about that now, nearly two months on. So, and again, that's obviously where it's actually for you. So let's come down a level then and let's talk about, obviously you play quite a bit of Madder County cricket with Shropshire, and obviously we spoke about the county scene, and we've both seen players we played with, played against, get a gig at county level. Where do you see the county game at the moment? And it's two tiers, so you've got obviously your first class and you've got the minor counties. And I'm trying to think, who was at another podcast with Ben Furnival, felt that he didn't see where minor counties sat in the Epsilons. Obviously the unicorns have deformed. What's your opinion on county cricket? Where does it sit? Where's the value in it?
I don't know. I don't know because when I first played minor counties, sort of 2000-2001 sort of time, there was kind of 10 homegrown players, good cricketers, good club cricketers, but maybe one pro as such, not overseas, but you know, maybe next first class or you know, and that's changed a hell of a lot in the last 5-10 years, you know. I played against a Hereford team once that had 7-8 paid players from outside of Hereford, which makes no sense to me. You know, if it's a Shropshire team, they should be based in Shropshire for me. Yeah. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
And Shropshire as a county and Staffordshire is the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's a frightening amount of top club cricketers in Shropshire, Staffordshire, Warwickshire, Worcestershire, obviously their first class counties.
Yeah.
Some of the weaker counties, if they get beat every week, well, so what? You know, why are the likes of Cumbria or Hertfordshire, whoever it is, bringing six players in to win minor counties matches. I don't see the value in that.
No.
You almost got the first class cricket is a lot better than minor counties, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Minor counties cricket is a lot better than most club cricket. But if you're going to have minor counties cricket, it has to be realistically competitive, in my eyes. You should be players from within Shropshire playing for Shropshire against players from within Staffordshire.
Yeah,
you get that rivalry then.
Yeah, they
know each other.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get to know players from Shropshire, Staffordshire, Cheshire, Hereford, wherever it is. I play most likely against Cheshire, Staff, Shropshire, Cheshire, Staffs, Hereford, Dorset, Devon, Cornwall. I get to know the players within the circle. You see them at games, at club cricket, and they go, oh, mate, you know, you get to know people. But I think when you start bringing players in from all over the place, and they're, oh, he's playing second 11 up there, why is he playing for you lads? What, you know, it's just, it seems to have been diluted the minor county scene a little bit, you know, and I think that's what, it's still strong, it's still strong, and at times really strong, but I don't see how people, and I know for Shropshire have complained a lot about this, people within Shropshire, I'm not supporting them because they're not from Shropshire, lads. Well, that's kind of right, you know, if I'm going to walk to Shropshire at Whitchurch, I want to see lads from Wellington, Shrewsbury, Chiffnell, Bridgnorth, Ostrey, Wem playing. I don't want to see lads from London and you know, Devon and Birmingham playing, because we're not Shropshire lads. That's what really frustrates me.
The question that I would bone there is, if you don't feel you have a strong enough 11 to compete from your area, what does that say about your state of cricket?
Well, exactly. But we'll find them, we'll train them, or we'll bring them through. Shropshire Youth Cricket used to be really strong.
Mm.
Jimmy Taylor, the Shantry brothers, you know, the Foster lads.
Yeah.
These lads are all first class or virgin on first class cricketers, or should have been first class cricketers. At the end of the day, there's no excuse. At the end of the day, if your minor counties team, for whatever reason, with players based in your own county, is weaker than the team from Staffordshire, well, it's weaker. Someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, that's it.
If anything, it highlights where you need to win, because that's the thing. The good thing from failure is it tells you where you need to improve, and you've got to always focus on that, otherwise, who's winning?
It's like a cycle as well, you know.
Smoothing out the crack.
If Shropshire went through a cycle of with the Fosters and people like that, Shropshire were very strong, and a lot of lads were homegrown. But then when the one or two of those go away and start bringing the players from all over the place, a lot of people, I know lads that I play with when I play for Shropshire, they don't play so much anymore, and they regularly voice their opinion saying, this is a Shropshire team, I'm not going to watch, I'm not going to support them, it's not a Shropshire team. And I was never a top minor counties player, don't get me wrong, but if I'm going to watch Shropshire play, I want to see that from Shropshire that I know, that I've seen come through the youth teams, that I've seen play at Wem, at Whitchurch, at Wellington. Not lads that play, you know, 70, 80, 100 miles, they're getting paid to play. Save your money. Put it into the kids' cricket, put it into youth cricket. Get some better coaches on board, whatever. Buy some better equipment. Don't waste money on players that ain't from Shropshire, who, quite frankly, don't care about Shropshire. They just care about getting a payday and putting the name out there to go somewhere else.
I think that kind of leads on to the next point is, from the purpose of minor counties. So, like, if you win, obviously, the minor county championship, where do you go?
Nothing. Nowhere.
There's nothing to it. And that might be another option, because obviously you've got, be careful how I say this, because I don't want to be sort of derogatory, but it has obviously been Derbyshire, Leicester, you less it, major counties, is that a word? But your counties that are playing first class counties, should there be a feeder in? The last club that went that way was Durham, way back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Should there be a feeder pathway? Should the ECB be saying to the minor county setups, right, okay, here's your incentive. There is a million or a £2 million cash injection for you to play first cricket. I don't know how much that would cost. I'm not an expert on that. But could that be something that is an injection to minor county cricket?
I think the problem
you would have then, because obviously looking at the major counties, a lot of them aren't from the local areas, is you would lose that. It would be a counter argument to what you just said. However, you would then create a proper breeding ground, and there would be another reason, and I think you would then find other counties investing a lot more in the junior grassroots.
You find when you played Staff Youth Cricket, I played Shropshire Youth Cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
When we played against the Warwickshire and Worcestershire, they were generally stronger than us.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a challenge for us. And there's no reason why if it couldn't have to money, of course it would. You know, at the end of the day, if a minor county all of a sudden came into tens of millions of pounds off a donation or something like that, or a lottery win, why can't they just apply and say, well, we only got to be a first class county? Because all it boils down to is having the backing, the support, and the players. And like, you're right what you say, but the same with football, you know, non-league teams aim to get the Football League. and some do, and some fly at the Football League, mm-hmm. like Leicester, because of whatever they are. So why can't a minor county do it? I think there's more than capable of doing it, mm-hmm. but it boils down to facilities and finance, really, I think.
It's sport, isn't it? Sport is massively backed on sponsors, business models, and I genuinely think it would see cricket as a whole improve nationwide. Like, you look at, you know, I can only speak really for the South, so I haven't really got that great knowledge of Shropshire, but you look at how many local players get fed into Derby, Warwickshire, Worcester, Leicester, Northants. Why should we have to lose them? Why is there not an option to go, right, let's pick a county ground. Norfolk have had one for 20 years. They've built purposely built a first class ground. It's obviously not got the stands and stuff yet next to the airport, but that was purposely built with the promise or the aspect of saying, right, in the next 10 years we want to try and move into being a first class county. So for me, that'd be one area for them to sort of look at, really. We're running this episode a little bit because obviously good topics, club cricket. You talk about change in the structure, huge ramifications for everything going on obviously in the North Staffs League at the moment, which I don't really want to harp on about because obviously we can't really talk about because we've had an injunction served on us. Club cricket, where are your thoughts on it? I know you've got some pretty strong views on club cricket. The format of the Saturday, the format of the Sunday, player participation, the amount of people playing, the standard, what are your thoughts?
I think as time's gone on, as I've got older, it seems to be same with most sports. The lads, people nowadays, the mentality is not like it used to be. You know, lads don't want to train as hard, don't want to turn up and put themselves out because they think they've got to. Everyone owes them something. If I'm going to give them my Saturday, I'm going to lose out on 70 quid at work. Well, I never cared about 70 quid at work because I'd rather play sport. I'd rather have 70 quid life and play sport and enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, and I've regularly voiced my opinion on this one, league cricket seems to have this thing where winning and losing draws, that's just nonsense. It's just absolute nonsense for me. Mm-hmm. You know, you're working 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, grafting away. You go on a Saturday, whether you're on the receiving end of it or you're dishing it out, if you score 300 runs on any wicket and they go get 110 for 9, not attempting to go for it because they're stopping you winning. They're not gaining anything from doing it, they're stopping you winning. You don't win when you're 180 runs better off on a Saturday. That's just complete nonsense. It should be straight win lose, and obviously get more points the closer you get, so it gives you incentive to get closer. And I don't care about rain or whatever. They can win. There's a way around that. There's always ways around things. The team that gets the most runs on the day in that amount of overs should win the game, and that's it. You know, it's frustrating for me. Especially Shropshire, it happened a lot at one point. You know, teams say, "Oh well, if we hang on for draw, we get two more points." Yeah, but if 9 and 10 go and get a quick 30 here each, you might get 25 points. But they won't go for it. You know, that's gone. Whereas win or lose, it was there and make a name for yourself. You know.
It comes back to a mentality, doesn't it? I think whilst the option's there, you're always going to get the mentality. That's the politics of life, whether it's politics of parliament, politics of business, politics of relationships, politics of sports. Whilst the opportunity's there, you're always going to get that mindset that will go, right, we don't care who's going to spoil the party. I'm quite lucky in the fact that, you know, I grew up at Longton League. I played at Allsager, Norton, and we've always had this methodology of we go out to win.
Yeah,
there are a lot of clubs who over time, when you look back at their methodology, their mentality, you'd probably held them back. I mean, I'm probably going to get shot in the foot here by saying it, but when I grew up as a cricketer, that was always Port Hill that did that. Now, Port Hill have changed their methodology, and I think John Hancock does a great job at this. They're always pushing for the win, regardless. They've got a very much a bat-first mentality, scoreboard pressure, you put pressure on.
It's Wednesday as well.
And that's the way you... It's positive cricket.
For me, it's proper cricket. You know, you go out and you set a score and you defend it. And if that means you defend it by bowling, you know, tight areas, setting fields, it's proper cricket. You know, proper cricket is not standing there just blocking balls. And people, I, you know, and unfortunately, when you talk about it, some people think it's a good thing. you just hear excuse after excuse. There's no real solid method to why it's a good thing to draw cricket. You know, I've had people don't play cricket to watch my games and go, what happened there? Mm. You've won it. No, I haven't won. Have you not won? It's just confusing. It should be straight down the line. You score the most ones on the day. You win the game of cricket.
And that's what stops, I think, the people that, you know, we spoke at the start of the podcast talking about what makes cricket what gets people involved, and people who don't play cricket don't understand it. We could help people understand it by making it. I mean, my mum, God rest her soul, when we played at Longton, she'd always say to me, Simon, why do we always declare? Because when we declare, we never win. She couldn't understand it. We'd always have like 150, 200 runs more. And you could never bowl up, and there'd always be 8-9 down.
Yeah.
What we draw, which always seems to work. When we don't declare, we win.
But in proper cricket, that's a win. That's a win. Yeah. Anyone understands the game.
Yeah, exactly.
They talk about cricket being the same from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get draws in international one day cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
50 overs a side. I think you should 50 overs a side, 10 overs a bowler. Yeah. That's how I see it.
That's the thing it would do as well. We talk about club cricket where people don't want to play. It would also free people up. How many times do people waste an hour, 2 hours? Where people don't want to get out, they're playing on a feather bed, but there's no lack of intent, and all they're doing is wasting 24 people's time.
Exactly.
They're either getting in the bar, going to spend some time with the kids, going home, spending time with the wife, maybe go out for a meal. The amount of games that would wrap up early.
Oh, yeah. Either way, if you lose, you lose.
Yeah, if you win, you win.
It boils down to the same, you know, time is key in everything. And if you've got, like, a lot of people say, like, your staff league used to be. Oh, it's frustrating because you don't let two lads bowl all the overs.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. You know, in a 50-over game, why is it bowling 25 each?
Yeah.
It should be 10 overs of bowlers, so then you've got to pick a more rounded team wins the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
years ago, you'd have three lads bowling all the overs. An overseas pro, a homegrown pro, and a good club cricketer.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you've got to find two more bowlers. Mm-hmm. You've got to bowl 10 overs, so you bowl 7 at the start, 3 at the end, or he bowls 10 in the middle and tightens it up.
Yeah.
It's proper cricket. You know, I don't see how one lad just dobbing it on a green one, going bang, 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 and it's impossible to get away.
Mm-hmm.
How's that proper cricket?
I'm a massive fan. If you change to 50 or 55 overs a side and you played 110 game of cricket, I get the reasons for it, and you said, right, you've got 10 overs a bowler, but you've got two bowlers that can bowl 15, which make obviously one bowler that can bowl 15, which makes up obviously thing, which should always be your overseas or whatever. Where's the detriment?
No, it isn't, because it'll make more people involved in the game as well. Because sometimes in these leagues, these local leagues, one bloke does all the batting and one bloke does all the bowling. That's how generally it works in some teams. Some teams are propped up by one batter and one bowler. You know, and people say, oh, you're a one-man team. There are a lot of teams that are one-man team. Unfortunately, that's how it is. And so in some cases, the same man's doing all the batting and all the bowling.
Mm-hmm.
So if the onus then becomes, hang on a minute, you've got ball 10 overs only, you've got to find the ball from somewhere. Some young lad might get a little chance to get two or three wickets. All of a sudden, you unearth a gem. At the moment, that gem's just set up first, stood at backward square leg, because your pro's bowling 18, 19 overs, and the ex pro's bowling 18, 19 overs. What good's that doing the club? I just don't get it.
Well, yeah, I mean, not to say the point, but obviously we were in a similar situation last year and this year. When you've got a team that has got 6-7 bowlers, it's frustrating because the club are almost like, well, everybody else is, you know, we're paying some guys some brass. We've got to make sure he bowls a 17, 18 overs, whether he's doing the right for the club or not. And it does get frustrating from that point of view. From a point of view of, just obviously to wrap this part of the podcast up, My biggest thing, and I think this comes back from where it is, if it changed to 50 over straight win, more sponsors would get involved, clubs could, you've only got to look at how much clubs try and make a big deal of 2020 cricket, DJs at games, barbecues, you make it a much more appealing game to watch.
Yeah.
And I get that, and that's where cricket needs to evolve.
Yeah.
Cricket. And I think there's been Harry Gurney's raised a big thing, probably sparked a bit of controversy by saying, if you think playing cricket on Saturday is a pathway to county cricket and test match cricket, I kind of think he's got a point, to be fair, because this proportionate gap is different, and I think that's kind of where we're at with it, really. But that'd be sort of where I'm at. Slightly longer episode 2 than 1-2 because of good points
talk about cricket. Please tune into part three where we talk about where we're going to go, obviously, in the future with cricket. Obviously, Slap's already said that he thinks he'll probably finish his cricket at Wem. We'll go through all those different points. Thank you very much for listening, and I will speak to you tomorrow.
This is the Norton & Hales Cricket Club Podcast.